ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler. Ukraine conflict. Nuclear power plants. Breaking news from the Eurasia, but it speaks to the future. IAEA reports blasts near Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Russia rejects claim. The International Atomic Energy Agency, that's the UN watchdog, reported explosions, several explosions, near the Ukrainian nuclear power plant occupied by Russian forces. There is no explanation for those explosions. They are said to have rattled the windows. This begins our explication of what has happened in Ukraine's nuclear power plants, providing a bounty of electricity to keep what is going lit up and heated in the wintertime. And to help me tell this complicated and incomplete story, pieces of it are falling like rain, is Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. Henry's been with me since the beginning of the war, and our concern of the nuclear power plants in the war zone. It's accelerating, just like the war. Henry, a very good evening to you. Explosions of undetermined origin, nature, near the Zaporizhia plant. Before we come to the statements, the utopian statements by UN officials, the Zaporizhia plant, the last we talked, several weeks past, had one, maybe one of its six fissile fuel centers lit up and occupied, available for production. However, the question always remained, was there a sufficient power supply to keep all of them from going into a damaging position, of which we can only entertain would be awful, just like Chernobyl. So what is the status we know about those six plants now? Five were shut down. One was on cold shutdown. What is it now, Henry? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's still on cold shutdown. I believe there is a line, one line that is going in so that the electricity can be supplied externally. They don't have the diesel generators on this week. But this is, the new normal would normally be bizarre and considered perils of Pauline, but we've just apparently gotten used to this.
Right. So what we have here is the plants are no more protected or secure than they were in the beginning of this episode, which started back in the springtime of 2022. So now we come to remarks by Rafael Grossi, the head of the IAEA, saying that he conferred with Brussels last week about his ambition to put inspection teams in some fashion into all the nuclear power plants, and that those teams would be responsible for providing security in the interim steps towards what Mr. Grossi imagines are safety zones around these nuclear power plants. He said he talked to Brussels last week, and he aims to seek a conversation with Moscow this week. What safety zones? What would that look like, Henry? How does the UN present itself?
Well, as I understand it, the prime poster child for what sometimes he refers to as protection zones, so it's not clear what these things are, is Zaporizhia. And, he may well want to do more, but he's got to start there, as best I can tell. And he keeps referring to Zaporizhia when he talks about these protection zones. It's not clear what's going on here. When you read the news, you get the Ukrainians saying, we would prefer not to agree to whatever it is Mr. Grossi has negotiated with the Russians. We would prefer to have UN peacekeepers brought in, which suggests a vote of no confidence in whatever the IAEA is negotiating. The Russians, meanwhile, seem to run much like the Ukrainians, hot and cold on the zone. I think the latest comments that Mr. Grossi made about how unsafe Zaporizhia was were dismissed as being provocative, and that the need for a zone was a provocative statement as well. So something is not well or going very well in these talks, which have gone on since September. When you start counting the months, that's, well, September, October, November, December, January. We're into almost 6 months, or we're going on to our sixth month. So this is not exactly going smoothly. And to his credit, Mr. Grossi has admitted as much.
The Russians have a voice here. The Rinat Karcha, advisor to the head of Rosenergoatom, which is the Russian nuclear power plant organization, the company operating all of Russia's nuclear plants, said Mr. Grossi's comments were, quote, unfounded. The quote, in addition, I can only describe this as a provocation. Before you provide such information, you need to check it and establish that it is not based on rumor. Speaking of these explosions reported near Zaporizhia, Mr. Karcher goes on to say, on the one hand, they want to show that they are doing something useful, meaning the IAEA. On the other, they are again sowing doubt in Western public opinion that somehow Russia cannot cope with upholding nuclear safety. Henry, the Russians are rejecting Mr. Grossi. They're rejecting his concern. This has been true for some months. The Russians occupy the plant. I want to confirm that. The Russians have taken responsibility for the safety of the plant. I want to confirm that. And part of this concern you have illustrated in the past was because the Russians know that if they gave up the plant or allowed safety zone to be constructed in any fashion, they would lose ownership of this part of Ukraine. Is that correct, Henry?
No, they might not. In other words, one of the reasons the Ukrainians might be hesitant, and I am speculating, about agreeing to the terms of a safety zone is that in previous practice, when the UN has created such zones in other parts of the world, frequently the item in the zone that is of greatest interest, whether it be a temple or in this case a reactor, they sometimes will suspend consideration as to who has possession of it. Now, if that is the case, in whatever the terms might be that the IAEA is negotiating, the Ukrainians would take strong objection to it. But the Russians might well say, look, if we can suspend the question as to who owns it, then we might still be able to assert the claim that will be recognized by international bodies that it is ours. And clearly the Russians want that. So they wouldn't necessarily lose control of that plant with regard to the ownership claim. It might be just the reverse.
There are other allegations made by the Russians, this time not their atomic energy agencies, but in their intelligence service, the SVR. Within these last days, Russia's foreign intelligence services accused Ukraine of storing Western-supplied arms at nuclear power stations, plural, across the country, an allegation dismissed as untrue by senior Ukrainian official. An SVR statement said that the U.S. supplied HIMARS rocket launchers, air defense systems, and artillery ammunition, the good stuff, had been delivered to the Rivne nuclear power station in northwest Ukraine. This is well back, more than 100 miles is my guess, from Kyiv, the Rivne Oblast. Henry, this is a fresh allegation that resembles the allegation the Ukrainians made early in this dispute, saying that the Russians were using Zaporizhia as a storing facility and a firing platform, as I recall. Do we have any clarification about this allegation that HIMARS are being stored at a nuclear power facility?
No. And it's very disappointing because the IAEA claims it has inspectors at all of the plants in Ukraine, and it would be a matter very difficult to hide if you had an air defense system, which is pretty big, and it has to be outside. You can't hide that inside and do any good. It has to be outside. we haven't heard a peep from the IAEA as to whether these accusations are true or not. And, you know, you would think, separate from the safety of the plant, they would be concerned about the safety of their inspectors. I mean, after all, if it is true that the Russians are right about militarization having occurred at these plants, then firing at the plants is absolutely legitimate under international law. It's not the kind of accusation you want to just leave on the table. You want to refute it.
Electricity, until and if I learn otherwise, that's the implication here. Much of the electricity that Ukraine has now and needs comes from its nuclear power plants. So, Henry, a detail here, because it's been some time since I asked the frequently asked question. What is the risk of an attack on a nuclear power plant? What would lead from contained to out of control, abandon all ship? What happens?
Well, the key concern with these reactors is that they vitally require cooling with water. And anything that interrupts the flow of water around the fuel rods, which are quite warm, and they produce actually the heat that produces the steam, that produces the movement, that produces the voltage and steam generator rotations to produce electrical power. Anything that interferes with that water cooling is playing mischief with the future. And in particular, the you can get a meltdown. When the fuel starts to lack cooling, it will produce gases that will threaten to explode outward and release radiation if the containment systems are breached. And this has happened. We saw this in Fukushima with hydrogen explosion occurring. And certainly in the case of Chernobyl, which was not a light water reactor, you had quite an explosion. So that's one concern. The other is the spent fuel ponds, which I don't think in this instance are external. So they're actually within the confines of the containment building. So maybe you're okay on that front, I think. But the strength of the containment systems at Rivne are less than, I am told, than the strength of the containment systems at Zaporizhia. So, you know, none of this is great if shooting occurs. You don't want shooting.
I want to recover what you said earlier, Henry. The decision to attack Rivne, or a theoretical nuclear power plant that is being used to store high-end equipment that it can be used to salvo the Russian forces. Is that a legitimate target of war? Is there thinking about
yes. it? Yes. No, I mean, in fact, even the protocol of 1977, which amends the 1949 Geneva Convention on the Protection of Civilian Objects, allows that if a plant is fortified with military equipment, it then becomes fair game. So even though Russia isn't a party any longer of the first protocol, it would be legal for it to do so, even if it was a signatory, if in fact it was the case that the plant in question being targeted had been militarized or fortified with military equipment.
Knowing that, Henry, that means that if this allegation is substantive, that means that Ukraine has taken a profound risk, not only daring the Russians to do this, but is not capable of dealing with the worst case scenario. It would be out of control.
Well, you know, first point is they deny that they've done it. It would be nice if we could get the IAEA to confirm that that was the case. I don't know why they are so quiet. It could be they don't want to upset the Russians. I don't know. You know, maybe despite everything I might assume, they can't see whether or not these things are true or not. But it would be helpful if they did. I mean, that's one of their beneficial roles as an international organization, is their credibility. I mean, you know, they are not on either. They should not be on either side of this fight.
Henry Sokolsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. Since last we spoke about these matters, there have been considerable changes in the prospect for the battlefield in the near future. When we come back, tanks, F-16s, long-range missiles, what does that mean for the risk of nuclear power plants in a combat zone? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.